My name's Lindsay, I'm an addict. And it's only by God's grace that I'm carrying. And I must admit, I'm a little bit nervous about what's going on in the other room. But I'm going to try to deal with it to the best of my ability. Because my share is about sharing and not kind of denying. I don't have a stir either. I can just go out on the block and just... I got a story that's perhaps a little wild. So, I'm having a good time. I'm having a beautiful time with my sponsors, friends that came out, my partner, my road dog, man. I've just been having fun the last couple of days, man. I forgot I got a call. I'm not sure how this is going to come out. We hope we all just stay clean for this moment. I usually don't plan nothing. Just come in, have a good time, man. Come in, look cute. got my little brand on and shit. I'm coordinating today. everybody else got on shorts and jeans and shit,
I'll be taking them.
I already took yours. I already charged you all up. That's just what I do. You know, somebody just start talking about, I don't take inventory. I don't trust this man. Then it says don't take inventory. They said take your inventory. And then we learn how to take inventory. The world, the people in it, how to in it. And, I take inventory. There's a lot of nice looking young men. I am not, whoopee, nothing like that. But I am a compassionate, loving, caring individual. And I love people, man. I love people. And I love this program. And I love strangers that's in this program. I love people I ain't even met yet that's in this program. I don't do too good out there in that real world. I can only hang out with those people for so long. I have to get here. And I have to do stuff like service work and get involved and stuff of this nature here. So I'm real happy to be here. I'd like to welcome the new people. First off, I want to thank Mel for asking me to come out and speak. And I give them a little credit for asking me. The group, the committee, for choosing me out of all the people in the world of Narcotics Anonymous. You picked me to come here and do what I'm doing right now. And I pray to God that I carry a message that holds weight. I hope that I help somebody. The man with 7 days all the way up to 27 years. Somebody asked me why you didn't stand up when they announced the clean time. I said, I'm going to be standing up for about 40 minutes. And I'll announce it then. My clean date is 11/14/1984. If I stay here for 69 days, that'll be the big 2-5, 25 years.
Wow.
Thank you, Pat. Who ain't clapping? when you get your clean, man, I'm not going to clap for your clean. you want to lay in the cut and be cool and all that, I ain't clapping, Okay. Your ass going to get a turn, too. Hey, you're going to get a turn. We do celebrate here. I've celebrated coming up on 25. I've celebrated 25 birthdays. I got here at 26 and a half, 27. I'm 52. Program is not got, huh? I got here, man, feeling like a piece of shit. I've been able to get here and not go out. Some of my friends. I get real emotional about this program. I want you to stay so bad one day at a time. There's a line in the book that it talks about that when people leave here, and some of them do make it back. When they make it back, they make it back badly shaken. Wiped out, man. Sometimes you have to experience that. Sometimes they don't make it back. But we are blessed, the ones to do. We're happy for the ones to get back. We can never try not to go back. It's tough to come back. It's tough to witness it, too. Because they're still your friend when they come back. When they left, you was in love with them. They can stay gone for 40 years if they come back. What do you do? What do I do? Welcome back. So try to stay. That's what I'm going to try to do today. So it gets tough. But I strap down and I do what they taught me many, many years ago. One day at a time. One problem at a time. One issue at a time. One piece of pussy at a time. We just do it one day at a time. We do everything one thing at a time. We don't pick up. And you be cool, lay in the cut. Don't do stuff like clap when somebody is having an anniversary or somebody got married. Or somebody went 3 days and didn't cheat on their wife. Somebody went 4 days and didn't go in Walgreens to steal that shit up in there that they think they should have. I think it's a good thing. I think you should get on top of the chair and brag about that one day you got. Just tear up the house. Yo, most folks ain't gonna understand where you're coming from. They'll ask you something like, how long you been clean? 24 hours. They'll look at you like you're nuts. And we'll look at you like, yeah. That's what I'm talking about. And I talk a lot about that because that's where it all starts. One day. So I thank you guys for asking me to come here. Because I feel deep down in my spirit, it's an honor, a privilege, and a blessing from God that I stand before you. And I'm completely grateful because of that. I think I serve an awesome God, and I appreciate you and this program, the Narcotics Anonymous, introducing me to this program. Because I didn't introduce me to this program. Somebody else did. It was a power greater than myself. It was the judge. I didn't come up in here, volunteer, you know, I'm tired, you know, my life got cut off. I'm ready to go do something. I was forced to come up in here. And I got here, that's how I got here. I got here with a chip on my shoulder. I've been in the penitentiary a few times. I've been arrested 83 times. Gangbanging. I come from out of Chicago. I was born in 58. I started using at 9 years old, gangbanging at 10. Drugs really didn't come in my life. So I don't know. It came, but they didn't come strongly until around 12, 13. By that time, I was running around, caught up with people that was in the body world where people came up first. I was one of the people that when I got to Narcotics Anonymous, and I'm pretty sure a few of you people like that, I'm not giving it up. It took me years to give up at all. And I'm just not getting to the point in my life where I gave up quite a bit. I'm not going to say 100%, but I've given up quite a bit. And I notice I walk lighter. I interact with you like better. I feel more good about myself, you know, and I'm motivated to come back. And I walked around with all that hate, all that garbage, all those, you know, those guilt feelings. I had a hard time here. That's why we say when you first get here, we know it's tough. Anybody tell you that this shit is easy? I don't cuss them out no more. I just fall in it. I just get I get in a rental car. We run around bragging about how easy this thing here is, you know. And so I follow him. Just see what's up with him, you know what I mean? If I don't see nothing, I get close to him. And then I get up on him, you know. Because a lot of people come here and get on their feet, they get out. And so I have all that. So I'll get hang out with him and eventually invite him to his house. And then the first thing I'm going to want to do is I'm going to want to go use the bathroom. So I go use the bathroom, and then the second thing I'm going to want to do is I'm going to want to creep. And I want to look in his medicine cabinet and see what he's on. Talking about that bullshit, about this stuff is easy. Because it's in my experience, this has not been easy. Perhaps it's simple. Is that a cell phone? You know, so it's not easy. You know, it's simple, but it's not easy. It's pretty much hard to unlearn and relearn. You know, but we do got to change, and we got some tools that we practice to try to change. And remember, this was shared with me many, many years ago. If you don't change, your clean date will. Clean date will. Whatever team that you got, you don't change, eventually it'll change. And I, once again earlier, I witnessed that. I've done all of going out and coming back in as I'm going to do. I didn't walk in and just get clean time and walk in and say, hey, bring me that book, let's work your book. That's good to about a decade. I almost don't even want to put it out. I don't want people to get the wrong idea. I mean, I live a real good life now, but it ain't been like that. But I noticed the difference for me. When I started trying to have bad worthy stuff, my life changed. And I know it changed. I don't talk a lot about the war stuff. I try to identify with new people. But I was pretty much caught up. I was pretty much hooked when I got here. I like to wrap it up about the past, about my spirit basically was in a coma. Pretty much was in a coma. Bottom line. The reason why I say that is because when I started working this stuff, one of the steps talks about having had a spiritual awakening. You just stop there for a moment. They told you all kinds of shit about yourself and just in that line right there. They told you that your spirit wasn't connected. It was in a coma. It was like having had a spiritual awakening. It woke up as a result of the steps. And so I believe my spirit was in a coma. I believe that that's why I was running around pulling a lot of hate moves. I hated the world. I had a terrible childhood. I didn't like the childhood. The moment I opened my eyes and realized stuff, I woke up, you know, I don't know, 6, 7, I'm like, what the fuck am I doing in this family? How the hell did I end up in here? I mean, because there was all kinds of stuff going on. You know, all kinds of lying, cheating, drugs, depression. Abuse, just all kinds of stuff. And I, at that point, all that was going on, and I was doing pretty good at that point. Sure, I did extremely well all the way up to age of 9. But when that guy walked in that room, man, that 350-pound man walked in that room, that guy was supposed to be taking care of me and flipped me over and said, be quiet. You say something, I'll kill you. Kill you and everybody in the house. My whole life changed. I had not picked up not one piece of dope. At that point, I think I was pretty healthy. I had everything working from the inside. And I had a quality on the inside that was just awesome. And I not know that until I started getting into step work. Because that's who I am now. A man with great character. Great personality. A man that got stamina when it comes down to working with people. And being kind to people. And being respectful to people. But I threw all that out. I think that some of that stuff I was blessed with. I was born with. But when that guy turned me over and did that stuff, man, and I was like, I'm standing there, a little bitty kid, man, 45, like, damn. You know, and I heard this little voice say, you know, get on your knees and talk to God, man. That God that some people been talking about, that my uncles and the people next door, the teachers and stuff. I heard this guy kept this thing by God. Every now and then they take us to church and I hear the preacher talk about this God thing. And when he talked about this God thing, he talked about this God got power. And so I comprehend that, okay, I use this power. And I found myself getting on my knees, begging to God, please don't let that man come in that room and bother me again. And that next night at 2 in the morning, that man came in the room and bothered me again. And I got back on my knees a couple of days later. I said, please, God, with tears in my eyes, please, please don't let that man come in that room and bother me again, because it hurts. And that man came in that room, and he bothered me again. And I heard a voice say, you want to pray about it? And I said, fuck you. Fuck you and the horse you ride. And I looked back until I was probably about 15 years in this program. I didn't believe in God, I didn't want to talk about God, I didn't want to talk about no feelings, and I don't want to talk about no issues. Let's move on. And that's why I stayed. Locked and loaded, and my coma was just completely locked down. I just locked down. And next thing I know, man, I was drinking and drugging, running the streets. And I didn't come here to volunteer. I was forced to go into a program. I was forced to go into detox. And last time, at the end of my run, On the streets, I'm strung out like most of us. He's open.
Like a hobo.
And nothing. Look like a fair handlebar. And it was tough. It was tough out there, man. This was in 1984. I had nothing going. Spirit is in a coma. I was wounded. Trying to fit in. Tons of pain, man. I tried my best to use every piece of dope, anything to take me out of me. And it didn't work. And I kept doing it. I didn't have no goals to quit using no dope. My dream was I'm gonna be a dope for the rest of my life. You know, I'm probably gonna hit the penitentiary again. Probably going to go through the county jail, run out, end up on Skid Row. My family didn't understand me because I didn't let nobody know nothing. I used to say, you know, they didn't know nothing. I lived in a home where my mother had 18 kids, all that had different fathers. I was so angry at my mother when I got here, man. It's going to take a decade just for me to get to me. First, I need to get to you. And I know I ain't the only one coming in experiencing that. Walk around with the finger like that. I just recently started putting the finger on me. It takes what it takes. And I think that's why we need to keep coming back and love each other and embrace each other and just work for each other. And pick people to let you talk about people like a dog. And let you carry on. But when you get done, now that you got on them, what about you? It takes what it takes. And I ain't got the one story. But I remember going out on Skid Row. I'm out on Skid Row and I'm running the streets and I ain't got nothing going on. And I'm like, God, you know what? You know, I hadn't mentioned God in a long time. My back was hurting one day, man. I was 26 years old and my back was hurting. And I don't know what it was. It come from an injury because I ain't never had no job. I'm in my car in this truck, man. One of my big dilemmas was that I gotta get to this truck for the next guy to get to it. The next guy gets to the truck, we gotta fight. You know what I mean? We gotta fight, man. It was old 62, 63 Dodge, you know, and the bed was all, the seat was all messed up, man. You see the sprains in it, old piece of brake that the dog been laying on. I probably have been living there about 4 or 5 months. My family had told me, go away and don't come back. Because some of it's true. I always felt like they didn't understand me. But ain't nobody going to understand you if you don't expose the truth. And when you're afraid to expose the truth, they ain't going to expose you. I think that this is one of the joys that I get about being a member of Non-Conference. I've gotten to a point in my life where I've exposed my truth. And I just exposed it to you. And I've exposed it in many, many states. That's probably the biggest thing that jumped off in my life. I don't know if I would have turned out to be a dope fiend. If that molestation ever would have happened. I don't know. I don't know if I would have began to start terrorizing the world. I don't know. That's what jumped off. I used to come in there and tell you what jumped off was San Quentin. You'd be at the edge of your seat. You get tired of talking about the surface. And that's what has happened in my life. I tell you some stories that curl your toes, you know, being in a nut house, being on a Skid Row, in a shootout, where people badly come up hurt. And you glorify that stuff. People got hurt that never ever get well again. Some things you don't get over. You learn to live with it. Live with people they don't never, ever, ever get the eye back. They'll never get it back. That's a tough pill to swallow, but when I think about that, I just simply want to stay here. Terrorize the world, man, because you mad. When I said that quick prayer, man, I'm out there hustling, man. I got busted. When I got busted, I was what they call a creeper. I would creep in your house when you was there. Because I could not creep in your house when you was gone. This is too damn paranoid. You go in there, you don't got time to look at the dress because you're worried about when they're going to come home. So my mind told me that it'd be better.
Some people can relate to that, huh?
I mean, it was like on,
it's like you know, hold on, man. You know, you go to somebody's house, man. You know, what was going on was that all the spirit in the world was telling me this is wrong.
Heart beating, you know, got knots in your stomach, man. And, like, you know, instead of me going in the house and verbalizing, I gotta go find a toilet. I gotta take a shit. So, you know, so I don't know why I created it, but I created a little bit of kid, man. Stuck on to the house when they were at home. You know, so that's a lot of how I ended up going to jail. You know. At any rate, I got caught going in one of them houses, man. People locked me up in the closet. They saw me, man, and I was like, you know, what are you doing? I ran to a damn, I ran into this room, man. With no outlet in. They locked me up, man. They wouldn't let me out. They let you out, we're gonna kick your ass. I'll take an ass whooping, let it out. Yeah. When the police came, I went to jail, man. Stayed for a couple of days, and I went to go see this drug. It's some new prison, county jail, drug program. Man, sent me to all kinds of places. You know? I'm standing there, man. I'm standing there. Look at you. And you look down at the case and say, oh, my God, you in here for that again? I'm going to give you one more chance. I'm going to let you out just to turn over the night. A favoritism type thing going on. It was. He said, I'm going to give you one more chance. I'm going to let you out of jail. You go to court. Go get yourself together. Now, my mind, but don't go back in that neighborhood again. Don't you come back in my courtroom again with no cases. And I got let out of jail. I went home to the old lady. She let me back in. And I had great intentions. Great intentions. I'm sitting at the edge of the bed, and that boy, that dude called me, man. Caused the disease of addiction. Nickname Goat. He said, you need one. And I didn't know how to say, no, I don't. He's a lie. And I listened to him. And I went back out, started using again, and when I use, I hustle. And I found myself hustling again, and I got caught stealing. And I caught a case and went right back to jail, went right back to the judge. The judge looked up at me and said, you in this courtroom again? And I looked at him, I was like, looking like a head and a bar. I'm like, yeah. He said, I thought I told you don't come back in my courtroom. And I'm standing there like, I don't know what to do. You got anything to say? No, I don't have anything. Whatever you say, son. He said, I'm going to give you one more chance. Go back over there. And don't come back in my courtroom, because if you do, you're going to the penitentiary for a long time, son. And I got out. And I went back home. And I sit at the head of the bed. And I sit there for 20 minutes. And I heard that voice say, you need one. And I didn't know how to say, man, no, I don't. I followed what he said. I did what he said. He said, go back over there in the same place where them people told you don't go back and handle your business, man. This time you're going to get away. And I went over there and I handled my business and I didn't get away. I went to jail. 2-3 days later, I went back to the same judge with my head down even worse. And the judge looked up at me and said, you back in my courtroom again? I thought I told you don't come back in my courtroom.
I thought I told you I'm sending you to the penitentiary. You come back in here. You got anything to say?
No, I don't.
So I'm going to give you one more chance. So you looking at a milk. He said, I'm going to give you one more chance. When he said that, the district attorney jumped up and said, you said that 2 times ago. And I'm sitting there with my public defender, I mean, public defender, and they started arguing. And one of the first things I noticed, you know, I was toxic, I was dirty, I was full of shame, full of remorse, guilt. I was able to see something. And I'll never forget this story. I was able to see this, but this, nobody ever fights for me. Nobody ever stood up to me. Every time I was wrong, they threw the book at me, man. They told me to go away, don't come back around here. We don't like you. My mother told me that. 7, 8, 9 years old. Go away. I don't like you. He's just like your mama, uncle, daddy. Don't come around here. And this judge was talking to the district attorney, the head district attorney in the area. Bad mama drama. She was tough. Her reputation was cold-blooded. And she was arguing. I was like, I couldn't say, man, this judge is fighting for me, man. What I said was to the judge, to my lawyer was,
well, my lawyer, my public defender. I never was able to get a lawyer.
I said, why would she be tripping, man? Why is she tripping, dude? And the public defender looked at me and said, this is why I have to get ready to get out. And what he said was, he said, be quiet, the judge is winning. And so I stood there and I was like, finally, they went at it for 3 or 4 minutes, but she put up a cold-blooded fight. I mean, she was like, man, this guy's been arrested 82 times, and he's been in prison, he's been over here, you came to your courtroom, and what are you, favorite gentleman? What's up with this? You know what I mean? Just, this girl was just loving it in. And I'm like, man, why would I just be, man? Come on, now she's trying to mess up my face. You know, the finish said, just be quiet, judge winning. And then she, all of a sudden, he just cut her off. You know, you cut them off, just cut them off. I was talking about click and hit that thing. You know that little thing they got? Yeah. Ow! Come on, touch the wall. He said, this is the way it's going to be. He said, son, don't come back in this courtroom no more. If you come back in this courtroom again, you're going to the penitentiary. You're going to leave here, you're going to take care of your family. You need some help, sir. And take this paper here. I want you to go to a 12-step program. We're going to try that. Because we're going to try everything else. And I took that paper, and I went home. And I sit on the edge of the bed. Instead of, I heard that voice say, you need one. And I heard that other voice say, I believe I heard the voice of the judge say, you need to go to what they call a 12-step program, a 12-step meeting. And I said, what? I said, why not try that? And as I said that, my first wife looked at me and said, what you talking about? Because I had a tendency to talk to myself. I'm trying to figure it out. What are you going to do now, Willis? What are you going to do now? You know, I don't know if you saw the movie, Hurricane. Denzel Washington, you know, he walked in there when he first got his time, walked in that jail cell, excuse me, sir. Walked in and he said, man, I'm not wearing them clothes. I'm wearing them clothes, man. You can send me anywhere in this penitentiary, but I ain't wearing them clothes. And that dude said, well, you going to the hole. He went down in the hole in that pretty-ass suit. And 90 days later, he in there with that pretty suit. And all of a sudden, it hit him. It hit him. What are you going to do now, Willis? What are you going to do now? And I was sitting there, and I thought, what am I going to do now, man? And what that hit me was that I'm a dope fiend. I'm a dope fiend, and I ain't no early good. What are you going to do now? Maybe this judge is trying to help me, man. Maybe this judge is trying to use and abuse me like anybody else. I don't know. But I'm going to try this. And that's how I got here. I walked in my first meeting 11/14/1984. And I walked in with a chip on my shoulder. And I didn't begin to do this process until I was about 12 years. It took 12 years, a whole bunch of money, 1 year. A whole bunch of money. The blow. And he's sitting at the edge of the bed for the 357 Max. Talking about the program don't work. This disease will kill you. It will kill you. That's what it was trying to do to me. So to speed this up, I began to start working the program. I got a sponsor right off the top. But I began to start using it. Began to start working this program. This is my favorite part. This is my favorite part. I started working the program. I didn't see a difference. I don't want you to get the feeling like, you know, you start working the program in 2 weeks, shit gonna jump off. It don't work like that. You know, it didn't work like that for me. I met a couple of people start working steps 3 days later, man. They was all that in the bag of chips. Struggle. Had a lot of setbacks, man. But I found out when I wasn't accepting all my affairs, doing service work, really trying to clean up, sit down and talk to people, man. Write out that fourth step, man. Write that fourth step out, man. Don't get down to the real root of the problem. You know, facing stuff. You know, I spent many, many years wanting to kill my step out. I got clean, man. I felt all that shit again. I killed anybody that looked like it. He the one who gave me the motivation to want to carry knives and guns. If a motherfucker ever get close to me like that, I kill him. That's a trouble place to be. Just wounded. Oh, if you think you got a problem with drugs, wait till you get a chance to have a problem with yourself. I had to get down. I had to sit down in front of another man. Share that. That don't come up as much, but it's every now and then it comes up. I have a 14-year-old son, man. He's trouble, man. He's all over the place. Get a group home now, somewhere around here. Come home every other weekend. I try to go out and do what I can to support him. Just took him away from me. Not because we were trouble parents. But, you know, kids just start acting out, man. I think you got so much Lindsay up in them. And he got to go through his role too. You know, and like the field, and he thank God he ain't got to do it by himself. He asked me, 14-year-old kid, Dad, why you put up with me, Dad? You know, he ain't no more good move. Why you put up with me? I guess I put up with you because didn't nobody put up with me. Plus, my job is to protect you. That's my job. Protect you. Do all I can. Issue of molestation came up around my kids. My job is to tell my story and then tell you my job is to make sure that don't happen to you. Have I got over it completely? No. Do I use dope over it? No. Do I come in the rooms and knock out anonymous when it hits my belly and talk about it? Yes, sir. You can judge me, you can look at me, funny style, whatever you want to look at me. I'm still going to be the man that I have to come. Because as a result of what took place at that house on a dark night at 2 in the morning, is the reason why I have become the man I am today. Which a man with great spirituality, character. A man that can honor his word. To practice the principles in all his affairs. That have a love that runs so deep about working with others. Awesome. The majority of my life I am flabbergasted for where I come from. A man that was illiterate when he got here. He couldn't read, write, or spell. I spent most of my life, 85 to 95% of the time, feeling like for a long time, I can't get this. And as I said I can't get this, I will get another day. I will get another day. I get another opportunity to work on it. If you knew, you hang in there. One of the greatest gifts somebody shared with me, and I want to share with you. But I know you probably a lot tired of me by now. No comment, huh? You can get a message anywhere, especially
in the rooms and knock out and out.
Or you get a message on the corner. You can get a message watching a man that come in and out. In and out. You get a message of watching a man that worked the steps, and you witness the results. It's a powerful message. You can also get the message out of a man that don't work no steps. He's sitting around here warming up the seat, posing as an adult, acting as if like he worked the steps. As soon as somebody step on his feet, his ass go off. He ain't working no steps. He working his steps. You can see, you can tell the ones working, you can tell the ones that don't work. But we got a pretty good sense. We have pretty good eyes around here. And we believe the world come down not too long ago and say everybody ain't working this stuff. Everybody ain't doing this thing here, man. We do more fellowshipping and then more groundwork. Groundwork in terms of working the steps and applying in all our affairs. And that's what I want to be. I don't want to be what that number just came out with the world. Man that read the book, went through the steps one time, didn't turn his back on it, and ride with that. I don't want to be like that. I want to be the man that worked the steps in all my affairs. I don't want to lighten us, but I want to tighten up. I don't want to run into a problem when I'm not working. Because work not working for me kicks my ass. And I don't like talking to people that's working every day and making a whole bunch of money, and I ain't making no money. And he's talking because it's easy to be spiritual when he's making a whole bunch of money and I ain't making a whole bunch of money. I don't talk to nobody, man. You know, got a nice truck, man, sitting 19 inches off the ground. You know what I'm saying? He's rolling with his wife, everything looking good, man. He's real spiritual. I don't like talking to them people sometimes when I'm down here and I'm riding around in a hoopie. With no air. Oh, it's real easy to be spiritual when you're riding around in a nice automobile and the air on, and you got a regular check going to the mail, and your mortgage is paid. An old lady looking at you real sweet today. You might even get a little bit that night. I bump heads with people like that. Because I believe it's a difference. I've been on both sides of our side, man. I've lived an extremely large life here, man. I've seen me just so spiritual, man, I can meditate, man. I got an apple for everybody, man. Let me go broke and see what happens. Let me go through a couple of divorces. One of them, I didn't care nothing about. That other one, I fell in love with. Let a couple of women walk off from you, man, when you try to get it your all. See how spiritual you is then. I couldn't say that many, many years ago, but I'm glad I went through the experience I went through. Because my experience motivated me to want to work the program. And working the program does not mean you're not going to run into problems. Oh, it's going to be some problems. I've had so many setbacks, I've lost track. But I find out a setback ain't nothing but a setup for a spiritual, strong comeback. That's basically what it is. But you can get the message in all kinds of ways. You can get a clear message in Narcotics Anonymous. I found out that I need a clear message from Narcotics Anonymous, and I need a message from you. That ain't got nothing to do with Narcotics Anonymous. So that can help my recovery too. For example, I remember I got an old 1966 pickup truck, and I like old shit, you know? I know y'all saw me riding that nice car, guys. It's a nice car. But I love this 1966 Ford pickup, three in the collar. You know, hard steering, you know. I know some of y'all got hard steering in your truck. I like that. But I love this truck, man. This Bessie, man. This Bessie's tight as I don't know what, man. He's tight. Go anywhere. I started driving down here with my spine feet with no air conditioner. I'm getting ready to set up. Give him something to work with. But the problem is, you know, I got a spine feet over there. He probably wouldn't have fell out. He couldn't help it. I can't deal with heat because I wear the defibrillator. So I have to have air. So when I was thinking about driving the truck, to bring it down here, I was like, damn, I forgot about me. You can't forget about you. You got to remember, in the last 5 years, I fell down in 580 in the truck, man, and on the Friday, I didn't come to until Monday. What I had was, I had an irregular heartbeat of 197 beats a minute. And I was supposed to get to 60 to 65. And to make a long story short, 18 days later, they put a device in me. So I wear the device. And I wear this device with my head up. And I let people know that sometimes I get a little jingle. And sometimes I get a little, you know. If you ever see me go like this here, it might look kind of off the wall, but that's a high. What happens is, when you have an irregular heartbeat of 197 beats a minute, you get no circulation in the brain. If it reaches 205, it'll go off. And I pray to God, when it go off, that you be here. Because I just shared my story. Now you know how to take care of me. And when I get a chance, I'll find out how to take care of you. Whether you knew or whether you owe, you got the script. I've shared the script with you. And I, when I hang out with people, man, that's why we connect so well. And one of the reasons why I feel like I connect with you so well is that I honor the truth. The truth is the antidote to my recovery. I don't care what it sounds like. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it feels like. I've been taught that all I need to care about is the truth. And the truth about it is that I'm not no early good without this program. I'm a decent man when I work this program. And I find that out many ways when I receive a message in the rooms or outside the rooms. When I walk in with my truck, I needed to get gas, so I pull in the gas station. And when you pull in the gas station nowadays, you need to be real spiritual. Because the gas price is real high. You need to really double up on your spirituality. So when I walk in, I look at the how much it costs, I say, damn. That's all it takes for me. It don't take a lot of fuzzy, blah, 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 blah. All it takes is, damn, man. Shit, it seems like a hell of a thing going on. It just went up yesterday. And I walked in there, man, and I was like, one, I got out of the truck, and I see the dude with a bag, man. I see the dude with a blanket, man. You know, blanket over his head, man. And, you know, old blanket over there, and you know, it looked like he had some shoes. They ain't as good as these I got on. But he looked, you know, it looked like he didn't shave for a while. You know, I saw all that, man. And whether it's right or wrong, I'll have an opinion on you. And he looked at me and said, can you spare change? I said, what the hell that mean, man? Shit. And I walked away. And then when I walk away, man, if you walk in this program, man, you get this thing in your stomach, man. You get this thing in your stomach, man, when you wrong, when you right, man. You like, damn, man, see? You know, sometimes I get to a point in my life, I say, damn, man, you should take your way, shit, man. Why you do that, man? I'm standing in line, right? I want the line to hurry up, man, because I don't want to feel that. I'm standing in line for four people, man. I want them to hurry up. And normally, you know, the reason why I want them to hurry up is because I don't want to feel what I'm feeling, man. Well, I'm feeling like you should get through that shit, man. And the program just kick in, man. Shut up! Be quiet, because this whole people in line, this woman kicking around with her purse and shit. I don't care what she's talking about. I don't care what she's talking about. If I stay here any longer, I'm a boss. I'm a boss to Jewel, wow. I'm going to sit here and I'm going to run up on the Jewel. So, you know, that man, you know, when God stepped in, he stepped in. You know, for another 5 minutes, I'm standing here. Now I want to say, man, maybe I don't go get gas somewhere else. These people got to hurry up, man. You know, like, it kicked off when I pulled in there. I wasn't supposed to be there. Now I'm saying, you know, I'm ready to talk to the cashier. But where's your manager? That don't make no sense, man. You know, all the news ain't for three people in line. What do you want me to do? By the time I got up there, I said, okay, man. I gave him the 20 spot, man. I was like, give him the 20 spot. And all that quick focus, like, man, you keep that doing that shit, man. You need to take care of that, man. That's why, man, I said, I don't want you to do no money, man, because my money's funny, man. I'm so broke now, man, I can't hardly pay attention in the room. I'm broke, man. You know, I'm struggling, man. And so I go outside, man. You know, I got a couple dollars in my pocket. I ain't that broke. I'm just, you know, I ain't rich.
I'm high, man. Stop
going outside and I say, hey, man, what's up with you, dude? I'm pumping my gas, man. And meantime, I got a newcomer in the truck.
You shit on this shit, bro.
So I'm pumping gas. I ain't nothing, man. What's up, man?
all that shit is just junk off. They got something to say. And the first thing he said was, man, you a trip.
So why'd you get it through all your money, man? I said, man, you know why I gave him that money?
Because that was a clear message for Narcotics Anonymous. That man gave you a message. Anytime somebody give me a message like that, I go in my pocket and give him a couple of dollars. God bless you.
Yeah.